Well, this time I'm aware that we're doing the pre-roll. This is maybe the first time. No, it's not the first time, but the first time in a while.
I mean, it's the first time in... I don't know where I'm going with that.
Well, that's a good way to... that's a good segue to You Know the Drill with Sam and Rutz, because today...
All right, right. That was kind of a Beatles song, huh?
Wait, was it?
I have no idea.
Well, wait to give away the topic before. I was on the cusp. I was just about to hit my crescendo, and then you came in and you spoiled it all.
That's what happens. I edged you a little bit. Just deal with it.
You did. You arrived a little prematurely, if I may.
Oh, no, I don't do that. I did. I just edged you a little bit. That's all. Just deal with that.
Well, this is going to be a quickie, or at least in theory, so... because you responded so well to our last quickie, we're going to give you another quickie. Actually, our last one wasn't a real quickie, and you haven't responded to it yet.
Yeah, it definitely did not end up being a quickie.
But this one... this amuses me so. Anyway, yeah, today we're obviously it's out. You've probably listened to it. We're talking about Now and Then, the last Beatles song ever released on their 30th anniversary. Well, not really their 30th anniversary, but the 30th anniversary. I know 1963 was like it was either was that the first year they came to the States or that their music came to the States?
I believe so. Something along those lines.
Maybe that was the Ed Sullivan Show anniversary. 63 is an important year in Beatles history. I know that. So
yeah, I will say I'm not like a Beatles fan per se. So I'm not that, you know, up on the lore of the Beatles.
Oh, see, I am. I'm a typical Beatles fanboy.
I'm a hipster when it comes to the Beatles fans, right? Like, I like some of their underground hits. I like a good amount of their like normal stuff, right? But so many people keep praising that like Beatles are the GOAT, you know. And I'm surrounded by a lot of Beatles fans that I'm like,
yeah,
instinctively I'm like, I gotta rebel.
Honestly, I can't blame you for that for a couple reasons. A, I kind of used to be that way, and I'll get into that in a second. And B, like I get it when you're like when you're surrounded by people who will praise something endlessly and treat it like it's the greatest thing ever, because everything is like, you know, I was just about to say, everything is like your opinion, man. No, no, but essentially that is like everybody, everything is subjective in terms of, you know, how good something is. That's, you know, not a very eloquently way to put it, but you know what I mean. And
yeah, I know what you mean.
So it is annoying when, like, people just won't stop talking about how something is the greatest. And so I get that. And I honestly, I can't hold it against anybody for not liking the Beatles. I mean,
what,
I okay. do some...
Well, what is your favorite Beatles song? Let me judge you.
Maybe Across the Universe.
Okay, I do like Across the Universe.
It's like there's a few. It's like While My Guitar Gently Weeps used to be it, mm-hmm. but like that's definitely up there. Across the Universe.
Yeah, I went through that period.
I mean, Sgt. Pepper has a lot of good. Like, Little Help from My Friends is such a great song, and also Day in the Life, obviously. And I love some of the old like. All right, one of my favorite karaoke song is 8 Days a Week. It's such a fun song to sing, and it's just such a vocally great song. Like, I just love, I don't know, it's just, John's just, you know, doing his thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But I will say really quickly as I can, that I used to be on board with you. I used to, like, so I grew up, my parents were older when they had me, so like they were obviously like my dad saw the Beatles in concert back in like when they first came to the States. So I've been told.
Yeah.
And my aunt saw them too, his sister. I don't think my mother saw them. She's a bit younger, but still, you know, they grew up when the Beatles were new. when they were you know, performing and stuff like that. So obviously huge fans. I have a, I think an original pressing of their first US album and second US album. Yeah. Yeah. And, so yeah, huge fan. So growing up, Beatles were everywhere. My first favorite Beatles song was, Rock and Roll Music, which is a Chuck Berry cover. I didn't know that when I was a child, of course, but, so I loved them growing up because, you know, obviously as your kid, you know, impressionable kid, you know, your parents like a thing, you like a thing. I kind of, as I got like a little older, like, you know, preteen era, even earlier than that, like, you know, like 9, 10, whatever, I kind of didn't really listen to music much. And I didn't really like the music that I grew, like, I kind of couldn't stand, you know, like NSYNC, Britney Spears, stuff like that as I was growing up. Although now I do like that stuff, so I don't know. Yeah.
Like, you kind of go into that. It's like this. A lot of the, you know, the millennials that I know are like, we're thriving in our white girl trash music era, which is like all that like 90s pop. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
It's hilarious.
No, and it doesn't even feel like I want to. It's like I'm tempted to say it's nostalgia, and that's definitely part of it. But I think something has shifted in me that I genuinely like it. But anyway, I stopped listening to music for a while, and then as I was getting back into music when I, you know, 16, 17, at first I was like, man, I don't want to get into the Beatles. That was played out when I was a kid. I'm over that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I listened to the radio a lot, like, you know, late teens, early 20s.
Right.
Because, you know, I was in sort of a musical discovery phase and still, you know. And obviously which a Beatles...
It's like everyone should be, you know, should focus on music discovery just in general.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, a Beatles song would often come my way or whatever. And, you know, I would hear like a song here or there on the radio. And it would be like every time, as much as I was trying to resist, I was like, you know, I like that a lot. I enjoy that song. Oh, and I also really enjoy that. So at first it's like, okay, there are a few Beatles songs I like, but I started to realize that I liked them all. And then Beatles Rock Band came out and I was really big into that. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and buy this because it'll be fun. I know it's the Beatles, but whatever. And it gave me even more of like, you know, a refresher of their music.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you know what? This is really good. Like, especially like all the visuals and everything and, you know, getting to play the music, it really got me into it. So I was like, all right, I think I need to do a deep dive. So I went to a library, checked out all the entire discography, and I listened to everything like from their first album to their last, to, you know, kind of like that musical odyssey going, you know, like exploring their development and growth.
Right.
And it's fascinating. It's a fascinating thing. I highly recommend, whether or not you're a Beatles fan, at some point, just listen to all their albums from the beginning to end, because there really is something to that evolution. And it's an important period in rock history, too, that you're listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were growing up with a time. Like, they were very much at the forefront of something new. And the 60s were such an interesting time because things changed so drastically from the early 60s to late 60s. I mean, you could say that about any decade, I'm sure, but, you know, anyway, my point, trying to wrap this up because I'm, you know, I can't tell anything succinctly. Yeah, so at that point, I became a shameless fan and I was like, yeah, the Beatles are great. There really is something magical about the Beatles, I think.
I mean, I'll give them that, right? Like, there is definitely something magical about the Beatles, right?
And I honestly don't think there's ever been a phenomenon quite like the Beatles, at least in music. I don't think so. I mean, I could be wrong about that, but I look back and it's remarkable, Beatlemania, what that was. Even in pop culture, maybe. I don't know. I may be making some big statements, but this is just from my perspective.
No, yeah, I'm with you. Like, the only other thing I could think of, to be perfectly frank, like, and it's nowhere near Beatlemania, but at the same time, like, it was significant, like, a very similar, you know, level of energy, right? Was, like, obsession with the boy bands in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
And then like K-pop in the early 2010s and dig through all that through BTS and around all that.
Well, and I will say
it's a very similar thing, right? Instead of, yeah. It's like, instead of just England this time, it's Korea. So,
well, and also just in general, like in terms of mania, I would probably say Taylor Swift is kind of in that sphere because it seems like there's some.
However, it's a different because it's a different thing just because a lot of it is, you know, she got all these people around her to rally with her because she was fighting against the man, you know what I mean, against the music labels, and so that, you know, that's a whole
interesting conversation for another time.
Especially because it's still ongoing. So that is a fantastic story.
Yeah, I'd be interested in exploring that at one point. I used to really hate Taylor Swift. I think I'm warming. I'm not a huge fan of her music, but I guess I'm warming to her now. I think there's a conversation we had there in general. But
it's part of that white girl trash phase. That's like, okay, this might be okay.
Yeah. No. Again, not the music. I mean, she's got a good voice, and some of her songs I like all right. And I haven't done a deep dive, but like, I'm not a huge fan of the music, but anyway.
There's, as she put it, there's eras, and there are eras that I enjoy. Like, I enjoy her, like, kind of bad bitch era, you know? I like that kind of, that era of her music. But, yeah, anyway.
Well, yes. The topic at hand, yes.
I had a similar vein, right? Where, you know, my dad is older, right? As a young lad, he probably could have seen the Beatles like towards the end of their tours. You know what I mean?
Yeah, my dad was like in 1963 or 60, I think that's when they came to the States. Like, he would have been 17.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
Put in perspective. My parents were old when I was born.
Yeah, no. My dad was born, I think, 60 or something like that. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
But like, he always grew up, you know, liking the weird stuff, in his opinion. Mm-hmm. So like, my introduction, and I think I've talked about it before, when it came to like, let's say the classic, you know, classic like rock.
Metallica. You know? I know you guys have a bond.
Metallica's one. Yeah. But I mean, but the big one was the Doors. That I got. Like,
oh, that's
acid
right.
Rock. We were big into acid rock.
I forget you're a Doors fan.
Oh yeah, Doors, Zeppelin.
You've seen the movie, right?
Yeah. The interesting thing, right? Pink Floyd was never on that list. That only came up recently because Zach is a Pink Floyd fan.
See, I'm not a huge Floyd fan. I have a friend who's trying to, like, every time we're in the car, he always plays Pink Floyd. He's trying to like convert me.
Convert you?
Yeah.
No, like, I like, again, Pink Floyd to me is very on the similar level of the Beatles, right? Like, I like the songs that are popular. I've got one or two songs that like are, you know, deep in the weeds that I'm like, ooh, I still really like this. Like in this case, so Beatles, my favorite song is Octopus's Garden. And then
that's
like
a nice song.
Yeah, and then for Pink Floyd, it's Coming Back to Life, which is like from like the like mid-90s or something like that.
Favorite Zeppelin song?
Ooh, favorite Zeppelin song?
Yeah.
And for a long time, it was Over the Hills and Far Away.
Okay.
Honestly, I don't know if I could pick a favorite one. It's been a minute. It's been a minute since I listened to Zeppelin.
I have a favorite, but I can't think of the name of it right now for some reason. I think it's something about tears or rain. And no, I'm not talking about Blade Runner. I think the title has something tears or, this is going to drive me crazy. Hold on. I got to look it up.
I was doing the same thing. Oh God.
The rain song. It's the rain song. Oh, it's called The Rain Song. I'm pretty sure. Hold on. Let me just make sure I'm right about that.
Oh, Lord.
Rain Song. Yeah. Song by Led Zeppelin. That song is beautiful.
I don't know. I think what happened was...
I'm going to listen to that. on the car later. Anyway,
Zeppelin, you know, is, again, I hold Zeppelin in high regard.
I don't, actually.
Well, again, that's the phase I grew up in, where the acid rock stuff.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
So, and like, I would say I'd hold the Doors up there too, but right, but their story is much more of a devolving instead of evolving like the Beatles were.
Yeah, yeah, interesting. And, well, I think that depends on how you look at it, because they went from, you know, being more, you know, acid rock sort of heady to like just classic blues, and like, yeah, you know, a lot, blues is a very respectable genre. I mean, agreed.
But like, it was an interesting point, right?
It's almost more like going back to, I don't want to say basics, but like, just because that's the phrase, but like going back to the fundamentals, not even the fun, just, you know, like sort of
the foundations of rock and roll.
Yeah, foundations, yeah. Yeah. Which the Beatles did with Get Back.
Yeah. Well, so, like, I think here's the reason.
Which would have been a good opportunity for us to get back to the topic at hand. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, you're right. Anyway, fine. Now and then. So the reason I also wanted to talk about this, right, was because I had not heard it until this morning. And my dad brought this up to me. He was the one who actually was like, oh, have you heard the new Beatles song? I heard something about AI. So yeah, I know you probably know about it. And I was like, no, what? And so I happened, like, we had an entirely different topic planned for this episode, frankly. And
I thought this was the one that, yeah, you didn't tell me what the topic was last night. You just mentioned something.
The other topic, well, it's something we can, we'll brush it down later in the line. But
okay, cool.
As I was sitting here waiting for you to hop on, I was like, you know what? I want to take a minute and I'm going to listen to this Beatles song. And, oof. As a song, yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
As a video? Oh, yeah, it's abysmal.
The video, okay, all right. Listen. The video is weird. And I'll say two things. One, I listened to, there was part of me that, I don't know, I felt like this is really like a monumental thing, because this is like the last Beatles song 50 years later, and 43 years after John Lennon's death. So
also for those of people who've seen the music video, that's a fan, it was also directed by Peter Jackson.
Yeah, yeah, that, which I found kind of surprising when I had a similar reaction to you, but I'll get to that in a second. Yeah, so like, it definitely felt like something that I feel like what I should have done is I should have gotten in on vinyl, and I probably should have had dedicated a special moment, you know, maybe lit some incense or whatever, and close my eyes and put on headphones and did something, you know, like some kind of ritual. But I just watched it on my computer. And I don't know, I felt like I couldn't wait. I was so intrigued. And also, it was still kind of powerful in any context, just to see that. And I watched the video, and at first I was like, yeah, I was like, who made, like, I saw it, Peter Jackson, and I was like, it was kind of cheesy and kind of poorly done. But at the same time, that was like, earlier on, I think later in the video, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like that it looked better later in the video.
I mean, arguable, but I see where you're coming from.
I think,
so
the,
say like, yes, but it's arguable, you know?
Well, it had some like kind of bad green screen in the beginning, because like it's got, what, Paul and Ringo are in a studio, but it's very obvious that they're against a green screen.
Yeah, it's essentially, because the idea is it's all like made up of majority of archive footage.
Yeah.
And there is some AI infused overlay to bring the two deceased Beatles members to like more to back to life, and that's a mixture of archive footage and, you know, like AI generation BS.
There did seem like there were some things that were off, and I will say, at this point, for my own well-being, I have to just not think about it. It's like anything that comes out at this point, you just have to assume is like at least half AI. I'm exaggerating a little bit. I don't know like the actual numbers, but bear with me. Yeah, I at this point, like, I just don't think about it. It's, you know, I think it's natural to assume that AI is involved in pretty much anything at this point, which is probably not true again. But yeah, so I didn't think about that. There were some things that seemed a little off in that way. I did like the sentiment behind it, though. I think that there were moments in the music video I feel like the idea was there. And I feel like there were some really powerful moments in the music video. And again, I liked it more later as I got into it. But yeah, it definitely was kind of like hokey and not well executed. And like some of the effects just seemed like they were poorly done. And at times it felt obtuse, but at times it felt, I don't know, it felt right. Yeah, slurp that.
I'm totally slurping.
And I assume, I don't know, like, I know they mentioned that, I kind of haven't read too much into it, just I don't want to, and I don't want to think about the Beatles using AI for their music, but like, it sounds like the song itself, like partly the reason why they're able to do it in the first place was because of AI. Because
because essentially what happened is, you know, back in the 60s, 70s, you know, insert time here.
I think it was the 70s, maybe even late 70s.
Well, 50 years. So 50 years would be 73, give or take?
73, yeah.
Yeah.
Could have been 73.
Yeah, there's multiple recording styles, right? And just because of how technology worked in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, the Beatles are notorious during that era for, like, just recording everything, like, clumped up in one track, right? Like, if you get into the world of audio editing, you can, you know, separate out everything else, right? And it's all about layering, and that's just how, you know, sounds and productions work, right?
Yeah, their first album was just recorded live.
Right.
Like, in studio.
Right. And so, after 50 years, Peter Jackson was finally able to, like, with the advent of AI and a couple of other, you know, tools and whatnot, was finally able to, like, separate and pull a fresh, you know, recording for John Lennon's vocals just out of the original recording. And that's the whole reason why he wanted to make it, because he was able to, like, use this technology and able to actually pull raw, fresh vocals. And he's like, oh, well, you know, perfect for a 50-year anniversary or something along those lines. Like, I recommend... and this is the same thing that I've heard a lot of people say when it comes to the song, right? If you're going to listen to it and just accept what it is, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to watch the music video, watch the short film they made about the making of, and then you'll understand it a lot more. I didn't. I watched it 5 minutes before we started recording, but that's
take it from me who didn't do this thing.
Exactly. Well, there's some another podcast I listen to. Can't quote it because I do not. It's on a YouTube channel of it's one of their podcasts I don't normally listen to. But they
it's called the Podcast Channel.
It's the Podcast Channel. The YouTube channel Modern Rogue. I'll put a link in the doobly doo down there. They have a couple of podcasts I don't normally listen to. They're like conversational, you know, podcasts, because they do some that are like think pieces, I guess you could say, but they happen to post it as a clip on their YouTube channel. I was listening to it, and they broke down all of this because one person had watched the music video and was just like, oh my god, this is an abomination, and the other guy had not seen the music video, had heard it and watched the making of, and was deeply in love with it. So it was a very interesting dynamic there. He eventually worked over to their side once he saw the music video and was like, oh my god, what the hell is all this? But it gave him a different, like, understanding of how it was all made and another appreciation for it, because, you know, that film apparently is really powerful or something.
Yeah, I'd be willing to check that out because I see the potential there. It's like I'm kind of on both sides because, like I said, my opinion of it kind of changed as I got into it. I think that's just the sentimentality that I have with the Beatles, and kind of, you know, forcing myself to, you know, appreciate this thing that's not, that doesn't seem to be particularly well done.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't know. I remember I actually listened to, I listened to a song like a couple weeks ago, so like it's not fresh in my mind, but I remember liking it, and I remember, you know, feeling like it was powerful. And it's looking at like it's sort of like an end of an era sort of thing. And I don't know, I mean, obviously I can't, the whole AI thing, you guys know how I feel about that. And mm-hmm. and I'm almost feeling like while you were talking about that, I think if there was a line drawn where it's like, okay, this is what we're using AI for, is to clean up stuff we couldn't, to rescue things, like really as a tool, doing that, like using it to rescue old audio that was previously not usable, because they wanted to finish this song in 95 when they were doing the anthology, the documentary.
You're becoming all robotic. Chill for a second.
Okay.
Beep, 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 beep. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Okay, there we go.
So I was just going to say that, I think where you draw the line is like as a tool, because, I remember where I was. So like, obviously this is a song they were trying to make back in like 1995 during the anthology when they were recording that, and they couldn't because of the audio quality. So I am very strictly against AI in almost any context, but I think I might feel differently if it was actually treated as a tool, like something that could be used to fix things that couldn't be fixed otherwise, maybe. I think I would be, again, not enthusiastic about it, but I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, like if it could actually like bring essentially like a piece of nostalgia, right, back to life, I guess you could say, in a way that it couldn't, like in this case, then I totally get what you mean.
I think this is a situation where it's not like, as far as I'm aware, it's not like they used AI music or anything. I don't think so.
No, I was not.
I think it was just to clean up a previously unusable audio track that is still John Lennon's voice. It's not like enhance. It's just cleaning up noise. I think I'm okay with that. I have to be, because otherwise we wouldn't get this song. And I think what it is and how it's, you know, before this, I don't think we really had that sort of final, you know, bookmark. So that's what this gives us. It's like, this is the end of
some level of closure.
Yeah. And so, you know, obviously I'm okay with it. I have to be. And I think this context is okay. You know, as far as the music video, I'd have to see what they did and like how much, because, you know, I think it's very, it's really like a,
it's
moral,
very rough, in my opinion.
Well, it's a moral, it's a big, there's probably a better way to say this, but it's kind of a moral quandary about using AI or anything that like recreates the likeness of someone who's no longer alive. I mean, I guess, you know, I have to sit back and think, because it's like, okay, can you not draw that person? I don't know. I'd have to think on that. But in general, without thinking too much about it, just for now, I don't like the idea of bringing back somebody's likeness using, let's just put it this way, without having more time to discuss it at length, using somebody's, you know, recreating somebody's likeness for a movie or for a video, and it's like, and it looks like them using computers or whatever, I think that's kind of wrong.
Well, okay. So just to put on the pencil in that point as we wrap the episode, mm-hmm. I'm with you, unless like the gray area for me is like what they did with Paul Walker, what they did with Carrie Fisher, right? where it was like they were already the majority through the project, right? So most
The Crow.
Yeah, and I've never seen The Crow, but I know exactly what you mean. Where it's like the 90-95% of the project is them, right? They're already, you know, there. Yeah. But what happened is they just passed away during production, right? And so they had to scramble to fix it.
Yeah, to honor the work that they already did. Yeah, right. I get that. And it's definitely, I don't think this is a topic that has a clear-cut answer. And I think that it deserves a much longer discussion than what we have time for.
The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus is another fantastic example of that.
That was Heath Ledger, right?
That was for Heath Ledger, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that makes sense. And I think a lot of it has to do with consent. Because I feel like it's something that if you're like, hey, you can use my likeness when I'm dead, you can do this, you know, that's one thing. And maybe there's something to, I don't know. Again, this is just sort of like a closing thought.
That's another episode in itself.
Take this with, you know, for what it is for now. But yeah, I think we're pretty much covered what we need to cover.
Yeah. So you got a wreck? You want a wreck?
I do, actually. I actually do have a wreck, and I feel like I've been wrecking a lot lately, so next time you'll have to take it. Not that I mind, I just don't want to, like, hog all the wrecks.
I have to take it next time. God. I switch, but I'm not that much of a switch.
Okay, so basically, and this actually pertains to what we were talking about earlier with Led Zeppelin.
Oh, I was going to say, do I need like alarm bells or something for when you give a rec that's related to our episode?
No. So I was thinking about wrecking it then, but whatever. So if you like Led Zeppelin, especially Stairway to Heaven, I'm sure a lot of you know about, you know, the claims, the sort of the legal, I think it was a court thing. I'm not sure, but whatever. The plagiarism claims about Stairway to Heaven. So the song in question that was allegedly, that they allegedly stole from is a song by a band called Spirit. And the song is, I'm actually forgetting off the top of my head. Hold on a second. I need to
get, how dare bam, you?
Bant for a second while I...
God. I need to make up an imaginary...
It's okay. I got the song.
That we can throw to whenever we need to look up something.
Okay. It's called Taurus. It's all instrumental. And if you listen to it, it's not like a direct lift, but it's like you listen to it and you're like, you think you're listening to Stairway to Heaven at first until it goes a little different. And then it's like, okay. Hmm. And it's great. And Spirit is great. That's a great 70s. They're like a jazz rock fusion band, I think is the genre.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm understanding correctly. Great, great band. A really good album of theirs, which Taurus is not on that album, but it's called the you know what? This is just me today. Like I can't recall things. The Seven Dreams of Dr. Sarconicus or something. I don't know.
That's an album title. Damn.
Hold on, let me Dr. Okay. It's called the 12 Dreams of Dr. Sardonicus.
Oh, you were close.
Yeah, I wasn't too off. And it has a song in there called Mr. Skin, which...
Rawr.
It's actually based on... They called their drummer Mr. Skin because his head was like completely smooth. And it's such a cool...
I want to hear about smooth, man. That sounds wrong.
Smooth heads, too. His head was shaved, waxed, whatever. There's no way to say that without it. Anyway, just look at a picture of it. Never mind. Anyway, listen to 12 Dreams of Dr. Sardonicus. Listen to Taurus. Listen to Spirit. Mr. Skin is such a cool song.
Mr. Skin.
Yeah.
God. Okay. All right. All right. Then I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and this, you know,
another long quickie.
Yeah, well, it was 30 minutes.
Well, roughly. the episode itself will be. Yeah, we just had some technical issues.
Yeah, that was.
It was like I started talking about AI, and then I started becoming part of the machine.
Yep, that's exactly what happened. It's absorbing you like a virus. Okay, well, again, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. There's also a lot more to talk about in here, so we'll probably revisit this topic.
We could always have this conversation in the Discord.
Exactly. Come and
why not? Or whatever. Why not? Ask yourself when you're listening to this, because I know somebody's listening to this. At the end, I just want you to say, why not? How can it hurt? You join and then you never open it up again. You don't have to. Just join.
Oh, Lord. Okay. All right. On those pleas, we're out of here. We'll catch you next week. Ciao, y'all.